episode 7 of the Tech Surge podcast. I am your host, Guillermo Ortiz, and welcome to a weird episode for me, as I'm quite sleepy here in Madrid in the early hours of the morning. I said in the last episode that if I could get an episode pushed out in Madrid that I would, and here we are recording episode 7. So it's quite noisy around me. I'm in my grandparents' house where a lot of noise can be heard, the radio and stuff outside, but they've been kind enough to lend me a room to use for a few hours to record this podcast. So yeah, I guess let's talk about the news. But here's the thing, there isn't many news pieces this month. December's quite a slow month for smartphone and tech news in general. But there are a few little pieces here and there that we could talk about. And the first of which would be Samsung's One UI. It's pushing out earlier than expected with Android 9 Pie on its Samsung Galaxy S9 and Note 9 series phones. So I think, you know, One UI, it was unveiled earlier this year at Samsung, the developer conference, I believe. And it's looking a lot closer to stock Android. I think I've talked about this before, but Samsung used to be extremely, extremely heavy on the skin. TouchWiz, if you remember the good old days of Jelly Bean and KitKat, was a complete mess. The features they had were totally gimmicky. I believe there were a few were useful, to be honest. Like there was one where you could wave your hand over the phone. I think it used the sensors in the phone and you could take a phone call like that, which I guess that was pretty useful, but most of the features were just kind of useless in general. But One UI, it's flattened it out. I've seen a few pictures. It's flattened it out substantially. Everything looks a lot cleaner. There's not as many colors or 3D elements to the UI. It's a lot more flat and it's a lot more streamlined. And this speaks volumes for the maturity of Samsung, who've done a fantastic job since the S6 to really not only mature their phones and stop making plastic phones like they used to, but also to streamline their UI and their skin. And out of all the skins that there are, even though I'm still not a huge fan of Experience, I think it's called Samsung Experience UI now. Next is going to be One UI. Even though I'm not a fan of their skins, I have to recognize the progress they've made since TouchWiz. And I hope it just keeps getting a lot better. Because the closer it is to stock Android, at least in my opinion, the more people will take it on board or take and buy the phones. I know there are people who just don't care and will just go for it anyway because it's a Samsung phone, because they've heard of the brand and they only really know two brands, and that's iPhone and Galaxy. But at least for the more, it'll open it up to the more techie people, the geeks, the people who usually buy a OnePlus phone, maybe. I don't know, maybe I'm talking nonsense, but I just feel like with the streamlining and with having it closer to stock Android, it'll tempt a lot more people than it did before, who were sort of scared away by the UI or they didn't like it because it lagged. Because if you do look at Samsung phones, they seem to have just a millisecond or two slower performance than phones with a cleaner skin. The animations are a bit jarring. You know, switching from screen to screen takes just a tiny bit longer than, for example, other lighter skins than MIUI, who on the opposite end, they aggressively kill applications in the background, for example, in order for you to have an extremely clean experience. And I've talked about MIUI 10 before, and MIUI 10 is a pretty good representation of what an OEM should do with the skin that they have. It's clean, it's flat, but it doesn't lose the essence of Xiaomi. It just sort of packs into something a little bit more aesthetically pleasing and familiar to more people. It is still kind of Apple-ish, if you like, but for example, the notification bar now looks like the Android 9 Pie notification bar. So, you know, I think in general, it's a step in the right direction for Samsung to bring One UI to the table. And it's especially pleasing to for them to push them early because they have a history of pushing updates quite late. I know that one of my friends is on a Samsung Galaxy S7 Edge, a pretty new phone. I mean, I say new, it came out in 2016, but he's still on Nougat 7.1.1. And he still doesn't have Oreo and doesn't look like he's going to get it now. So they have a history of just pushing updates extremely slowly and just lacking in that regard. But hopefully with this push, they can really start to form that reputation back up again with consumers and just have that reputation of pushing out updates quickly or quicker than they did before, which will attract more people. So good on Samsung. I think next year is going to be a big year for them. I've already talked about it on the last episode or the episode previous, but this year was quite iterative, and next year they will bring, I think they'll bring extremely great devices, if because they've sort of mastered the art of the build of their devices is absolutely fantastic. They just needed to master the software, and if with One UI they can do that, I think it'll be extremely tough to compete with them next year. All right, so let's talk about the second bit of news, I guess. And that's sort of a small one, but it does apply to me, and I have, you know, a pretty crappy phone, if you know me. I know what phone I've said I had before. It's the Xiaomi Mi A1, which is a phone from September 2017 running Snapdragon 625. And for me, lag isn't really that much of a problem because I do have stock Android. It's an Android One phone, and I do get the updates. I need to get Pi. I don't have Pi yet, but hopefully that'll come soon. But Xiaomi has released a new browser called the Mint browser, and this I like, okay? And there's a lot of browsers out there, a lot of competitors, a lot of brands. Chrome, of course. I use Chrome personally myself. It's not bad. But at least in my opinion, in my experience, having a Snapdragon 625, I have plenty of apps on my phone. And when I leave things open, Chrome just seems to get jarry or slow or laggy. I mean, I suppose it's the same with other apps, but Xiaomi has sort of brought out a browser which I'll download as the moment it releases, or the moment it's stable enough, and that's called the Mint browser. And as I said before, it's just a great option for those with low storage, RAM, and cheap, and those with cheap phones who can't really. Oh, by the way, that was the clock. By the way, that just, yeah, there's a clock in here. If you hear a constant TikTok, that's the clock in this room. But anyway, the Mint browser, just a great option really for anyone with a low budget device. I just think that it has like a sub 10 megabyte package size, a extremely low memory footprint, and it does, I think, looking at the article here and the look of the browser, it does have most essential features that a browser needs, like the tabs, incognito. It does have voice search, and it does have a reading mode, which for me is important in a browser, like when I'm reading a long article. So I don't want to get past those ads and just read the text, especially if it's a news piece. Don't really care about the pictures. But yeah, I think it's available in the Play Store already. I hope it's not like an Opera Mini. I'm not a fan of Opera Mini because they render the pages somewhere else and then they get a preview out, which for me, it's sort of ruins it a little bit. You lose some quality. But I don't think that's going to be it. And I guess they're, you know, this browser is just a good option. Xiaomi's known to push a lot of software on their phones, and on their Xiaomi phones, they come with a lot of pre-installed apps. So I don't know if they'll push this out as well, but it's just a good browser in general. All right, so as I said, there's just really not that many news pieces of significance. We're all just waiting for what 2019 is going to bring. The plans are all there. The leaks are all there. The P30s, the S10s, the OnePlus 7s. You know, I just hope that 2019 is just as exciting as this year. And as you all know, in the summer, I'm going to get myself a flagship phone. I've been saving up. And I've been really designing what I want, or looking at all this year's phones and imagining what they'll look like in their next generation, because I'm going to have a pretty difficult choice, you know? Sort of went through the five key specs last time, or a few episodes ago, of the camera, which has to be very good because I like photography. The screen, now, the screen, for me, AMOLED is what I want because I've had IPS, but I've come to the realization that IPS really isn't that bad, and a good IPS panel, quad HD IPS with extremely vivid and bright, extremely punchy colors and a vivid screen in general is probably better than a 1080p AMOLED. That's not so good, but I still want AMOLED. Because I've always wanted to have an always-on display. All my phones have been IPS. I've never really experienced AMOLED. And maybe it's nothing out of the ordinary. But, I don't know. It's just something that I want to have, to be honest. AMOLED display. I don't know. I don't know what it is about it. Like, the blacks just seem a lot blacker. It shuts off. It saves battery life. So, for me personally, having an AMOLED display probably is worth a trade-off, even if it's a little bit less good compared to an IPS panel. I'd still rather have the AMOLED, and that's why I don't really like the iPhone XR. I know a few people really do like it. I know most people like it, actually, and I was just listening to the Mobile Tech podcast with Miriam Jouar, and she and her guests seem to agree that the iPhone XR is extremely good. Which I disagreed, but I suppose if you take a look at the camera, DxO did name it the best single lens camera on the market. But I mean, DxO, I still think the Pixel 3 has the best single lens camera. But going back to iPhone XR, the IPS screen on that is probably one of the best IPS panels you can have. But what I'm saying is that I'm still pissed off that Apple, even though it looks fine, and you probably couldn't tell the difference between that and a 1080p, and yes, the colors are great and everything, I still think that for $750, they really could have fit an AMOLED, even if it's a little bit lower quality. I don't know, maybe they've had some inventory problems or whatnot, and they don't have those in stock, but I think they could have done the consumer a favor and just fit in slightly less good, less vibrant, less competent AMOLED screen instead of the 828p 720 they put on that on the iPhone XR, because the iPhone X, of course, and XS and XS Max have a quad HD AMOLED panel. So I think really for I think you're paying $350 less. Yeah, they should have given you the 1080p AMOLED. They should have put that on there. But that's just my opinion. Some people love that phone, swear by it. I suppose that you can never really tell unless you have it in hand. I haven't really had it in hand before, so I can't really tell. But from what I've seen and from what my opinions, just I still don't think it's worth it. Of course, if you're heavily invested in that Apple ecosystem, I suppose you would think otherwise, and you would definitely pick it up, but just not really, in my opinion, not for me. All right, let's move on to the last bit of this podcast. Yeah, it's pretty short this week. Hopefully when the news picks up, it'll be a lot longer, but I'm just sort of struggling to find relevant news pieces at this moment in time. But I suppose my plans for Christmas, and what I'm going to get, and what I want to get, and just in general, Christmas. So, basically, what I want to get is a power bank. Now, I've had problems with my phone in terms of battery and charging. Basically, my Mi A1 had a battery issue, and they replaced the battery about a year ago. It wouldn't charge fast. It doesn't have fast charging, but I'm saying it would take 3 hours, four hours, 5 hours to just charge it to 100%, which is ridiculous. Like, I would come after an hour and it would only be at 30%. So I don't know if that's normal, but there were times where I left it and overnight and it would only go up to like 97. So definitely had battery problems, and we replaced the battery on that and it still has battery problems. So until I can get this phone out of here and get a good flagship phone that'll last me years, I need to buy a power bank. And I've been looking at one power bank in particular, the Anker PowerCore 10,000, which is a 10,000 milliamp hour power bank. It's pretty compact. It's got high-speed charging technology. Anker are just very good at this. I'll leave a link to the Amazon page. But it can do 2.5 charges of the iPhone 10, 3.5 charges of the iPhone 8, and 2.5 charges of the S9. So it should be able to do plenty of charges for the Mi A1. Yeah, it just looks extremely compact, extremely good. Works with everything, and I just want this. See if I can scrape out any extra change for this, because I've sort of wasted my money on something else, which I'm going to talk about, and that would be the NFL Game Pass. This was a while ago. I bought this just for the season, and it's just been amazing. Just the ability to watch any NFL game, especially because I live in China. I'm currently in Spain, but I do live in China, and just having just being able to just log on to my computer, put on a VPN, and just watch whatever game's going on has just been a blessing. I watched the Panthers and the Falcons game last night, and the Falcons won. Let's go. So, yeah, it's just a great buy. Pretty happy with it. I recommend it highly. You can watch condensed games, highlights, or the full thing, and they've got something which I really like, which is like past Super Bowls. You can watch them. You can watch past games in general. Just think past league games. You can watch NFL films. There's a Red Zone broadcast that goes live 24 hours or something like crazy like that. So you can constantly be on the know. It's just a great purchase. I mean, it's not cheap, I would say, especially for the gold version. I think you can buy three, the basic tier, the standard tier, and the gold tier. I bought the gold tier because I want everything. The playoffs are coming up and I don't want to miss a single beat. I am an NFL fan. This is kind of off topic, but you know. And back to tech, I guess, but still tying in with the NFL company. I am going to pick up Madden 19. I do have Madden 18. And I played Madden 18 for a while. And even though I also have Madden 17, to be honest. And even though I said to myself, when I had Madden 18, when I saw Madden 19 come out, I was like, no, I will not buy it. I won't buy it. And here we are, it's Christmas, it's slightly discounted, and I'm going to buy it. I mean, yeah, call it consumerism and impulse buys, but there is improvements to the franchise, that's what I'm trying to justify it with. And there are a few improvements, real player emotion, technology, or whatever. So, I definitely, you know, I have an itch, I guess, to just pick it up. Hopefully, I get a gift card here and there from a relative or whatever, and I go to the shop and I'll be able to pick it up for slightly discounted price of 50 euros. It used to be 70. Not much difference, but it'll cover the gift card, I think. So, yeah. If you didn't know, now you know. I am an NFL fan. I am a Falcon fan. Please leave me an email if you are. I'll leave the email in the description. But this is going to wrap it up. We've gone 20 minutes. So thank you for listening to this rather convoluted episode 7 of the Tech Surge podcast. As people just said, I'll leave my email in the description down below. I am currently working on a website. It'll be up hopefully by next week. Thanks to Steve Heinrich for sending that email back suggesting me about using Weebly as a free option. So I definitely will be doing that. And just have a fantastic Christmas, everybody. And if you don't celebrate Christmas, just have a great holiday. I have 2 weeks here, which I'm going to enjoy with my family. So thank you for listening to episode 7 of the Tech Surge podcast. And I'll catch you next time.